Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this sixth day of May, 2022. And I'm absolutely thrilled to have a first-time guest whom I've wanted to have on this program for quite some time, and the Lord finally opened the door for this interview. My guest today is Kathy Barnett. She is professor of corporate finance and a conference speaker, a conservative political commentator, and candidate for the United States Senate in Pennsylvania. Today we're going to be not only addressing her candidacy for Senate, but we're also going to be talking about a powerful element in her life. She is the daughter of a rape victim who rejected an abortion. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Kathy Barnett.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Kathy. First of all, let's get into your background as far as when you first had an inkling, an inspiration, a drive to enter into the ugly arena of politics.
Because we must. That's the only thing, right? Edmund Burke has this quote that you hear a lot of conservatives quoting, the only thing that is necessary for evil to prevail is for good people to do nothing. And yet, you know, we did not end up where we are today, where we have a sitting president talking about a ministry of truth by osmosis. We got here because, for good or bad, good people have been doing nothing. We're doing nothing in the world of, you know, in the realm of politics. We've been, you know, paying our bills, sending our kids off to school, living our best lives. And as a result, we created a vacuum. And that vacuum has been filled by some of the most despotic and ridiculous people with equally ridiculous ideologies. That's how we ended up where we are today. And so, as that became clearer and clearer, and I'm watching the world in which I'm living in towards the end of 2019, I started looking around and wondering what more and asking what more can I do? And lo and behold, that's a dangerous question to ask because lo and behold, God brought someone in my path who simply asked the question, have you ever thought about running for politics? And that was a seed that was planted that began to grow in me.
Now, have you always been socially and politically conservative? I know that you are on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a thorough believer in the Lord and have a strong faith by the grace and mercy of God. But as far as your understanding and your involvement or uninvolvement in politics years ago, when did the understanding of a biblical worldview begin to enter into your political ideology as well?
Well, you know, like most Black people, I was born into the Democrat Party, just like I was born into brown skin. I grew up, you know, very impoverished, grew up in southern Alabama, and we always go to church, and so everybody's a Christian and conservative, and most Black people are where most Black people are conservative. and yet we don't tend to vote that way. But, you know, I grew up conservative, and yet, you know, was voting Democrat early on until I was about a junior in college that I began to, you know, begin to see things differently. But I gave my life to the Lord when I was 19 years old, and really began to look at the world through, you know, the lens of, you know, that there is an, that there is truth, that truth does exist, and truth has a name. And I began to look through, you know, began looking through the world through that lens and really seeking that truth. And so that was when I was about 19. And then, you know, started thinking, probably about a junior in college, that I wanted to get involved in politics, and went to the first political office I saw. It was a Democrat. And I walked in saying, I want to help you with your campaign. And as the gentleman was talking to me about his office, I had an epiphany. And the thought was, do you even know what he believes? Do you even know if what he believes is what you believe? And that truly was the first time that I began to, you know, look at the policies of these individuals. You know, what have they said versus how do what they say show up in communities in which I lived in, which are predominantly Black communities. And so that was the first time that I had that thought of moving beyond just a party and beginning to look at the values people are, you know, incorporating in their policies and how those values show up in various communities. And I'm probably, 20, 21 at that point. And so that started the process of me beginning to, you know, stop voting exclusively Democrat. And it wasn't long after that that I began to vote exclusively Republican.
Now, have you received a significant bad reaction, any pushback from the Black community in particular for being a conservative in that community?
You know, I mean, of course, right? They don't understand it. Like I said, 92 to 95% of Black people vote Democrat. And, you know, and unlike any other group of people, ethnicity of people, the way we vote is almost synonymous with the color of our skin. So if you start rejecting the Democrat Party, to some Blacks, it feels as though you're rejecting your community. But I believe that is changing more and more. You know, we are paying attention to what Democrats have said they want to offer us and versus what that, you know, how those policies show up in our community. And, you know, quite frankly, especially if you're a believer, you should expect to be rejected. Jesus said, they rejected me. So of course they're going to reject you. And, I'm made of 30 or stuff. I really don't. If everyone is liking me, that's a problem. Especially in the culture in which we find ourselves in, right? We're in a very hostile culture, to some degree, and we have, you know, issues that are topics that are very, you know, near and dear to our hearts. And there's a lot of pushback on those topics today. And so everyone should not be, I mean, if everyone likes you, that's a problem, especially in a culture in which we find ourselves in right now.
Right, right. The scriptures warn about beware when all men speak well of you. So
yeah, you know, I mean, you know, on Sunday, they were crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, putting palm leaves down. And on Friday, they were screaming, crucify them. So you need to be very mindful of that, especially in the culture in which we find ourselves in, right? Like just the culture of life. You know, this is a very important conversation, and we all don't agree. And so if we're all on the same page, you know, in this culture, that's probably a problem.
Amen. And one of the primary issues that sets you apart from those running in the Republican primary for Senate is that you are a thoroughgoing advocate for the rights of the life of the unborn. And I love how outspoken you are about being the daughter of a rape victim who rejected an abortion, which is why you are even alive and breathing and running for Senate today. And for some reason, people seem to think, in fact, I believe statistically, most Americans seem to think that this is an acceptable reason to murder a child. That if you are the product of a rape or incest situation, they think that, well, instead of punishing the father, the biological father, let's leave it an option open for the mother to murder her baby who is conceived through such a union. And I am so blessed to see how outspoken you are. Can you tell us something about that story? I know it begins with your mom, who was 11 years old when she was raped. Can you continue with that?
Yeah, you know, what a wonderful time we find ourselves in, right? I think it's Acts chapter 17, verse 27, where the Word of God says that it is God who determined the time and the place in which we're living in. And what a wonderful opportunity in this time and age to be able to stand up boldly for truth. I don't believe you can make up truth as you go. I believe there is such a thing as right and wrong, and I am so grateful to God that He has given me a platform to where I can stand up, lean forward, put a smile on my face, and begin to speak truth, right? And what a wonderful topic to be able to stand and to speak that truth about. I mean, what's more important than life? And life, especially the life of some of the most innocent among us. And so I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to stand on a national platform defend, to speak up for, to be the voice of so many that even in conservative Christian communities, we say, oh, that one is an exception. We're against abortion, except for, you know, these two exceptions. And my life just so happens to be one of those exceptions to the rule. You know, as you've already said, my mother was 11 years old when I was conceived. My father was 21. And I had absolutely nothing to do with how I was conceived. I took no part in that at all. And yet, there I was, right? And I have never tried to glorify how I was conceived, but the fact remains that is my that's part of my genesis. That's a part of my story. And I was more than just a clump of cells then, and as I speak to you now, I remain more than just a clump of cells. Yeah, more than just a clump of cells, and I'm so very grateful to God that there were adults in the room because, as you can imagine, my mother was too young to make such a decision of keeping me or not keeping me. But the adults who were in the room saw value in my life. And so I'm eternally grateful for that. And now I have a wonderful opportunity of being able to stand up and share that with others.
Amen. Now, were you raised by your grandparents along with your mother, who was 11 at the time of your birth?
Yes.
And did you hear the gospel of Christ from them, or was it somewhere else that you discovered the precious gospel of grace?
Yes. I mean, listen, I'm black, growing up in Alabama, everybody's saved. Everyone went to church. So we all would dress up in our finest, and we would walk up that hill to that little white church with the hill. We were in church every time the door opened. I remember all the revivals during the summer, the week-long revivals, and I mean, it's what we did. And I'm so very grateful that my family, you know, introduced me to, you know, to the Word and to truth. But it wasn't until I was 19 that I actually made, came into a personal knowledge of Jesus.
Amen.
And made Him my Lord and Savior. So He's been walking with me for a very long time, walking and leading.
Amen. What are the primary areas, other than obviously the abortion issue, which I prefer to call infanticide. I disagree with the many political pundits who are even professedly conservative who will only refer to it as infanticide when it's a late-term abortion. It's infanticide from the moment of conception when that baby is murdered. What are some of the other areas, primary areas, that you, as a daughter of God, as a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, think are the primary areas that you need to tend to as a senator to make changes in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, you know, trying to pick one thing is like trying to drink from a fire hydrant these days. Everything is on fire. I mean, everything is on fire. You name something. I mean, it is just, and you have to sit back and look and think to yourself, either these are some of the stupidest people who have ever been able to manage to get their hand on control of our country, or they know exactly what they're doing. I'm leaning towards the latter. I think these people know exactly what they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you could take the energy crisis that we find ourselves in, you know, because I grew up on a pig farm. You know, farmers are near and dear to my heart, and the largest industry in Pennsylvania happens to be our agriculture. And so the first 3 months of my campaign, I started working with or started going and visiting and speaking with our farmers. And, you know, I just talked to one of them a couple of weeks ago, and he said this time last year he paid $40,000 just to fertilize 600 acres of corn. This year it is costing him $120,000 to fertilize the exact same 600 acres of corn. Now, who do you think is going to eat that cost? I mean, if he's going to stay in business, it's certainly not going to be him. He's going to have to find a way to pass that on to you and I. So we're talking about, you know, gas prices right now. We're talking about the cost of heating. PECO just raised our heating bill by 38%. And that's being felt all across Pennsylvania, averaging between 30 and, like I said, ours is 38%. You know, people are going to feel that, but also in food. And then you have to, and then you ask, okay, well, what's the primary ingredient in fertilizer? It's energy. It's methane. And Biden gets in office. He takes away our energy independence. We were energy independent. Now we're not. And he immediately gets on hands and knees and goes over to Russia and buy it from them. What is so different from Russia's oil and gas versus our oil and gas? Ours is cleaner. So if these Democrats really care about climate change and the environment, that they would be doing everything they could to make us energy independent, and they would specifically be talking about liquid natural gas. But they're not. Why is that? Because they know exactly what they're doing. And then you have, you know, just to add insult to injury, Janet Yellen gallivanting all across the world, convincing wealth managers not to invest specifically in American fossil fuel. She's not telling them not to invest in Iran's fossil fuel or Venezuela's fossil fuel or Saudi Arabia's fossil fuel. She's specifically telling them not to invest in American fossil fuel. And as a result, 42% of the world's wealth managers will not invest in America's fossil fuel. Why is that? Especially when we know energy is everything. Energy is freedom. Ask Ukraine. Ask Germany. The World Economic Forum convinced Germany not to or to destroy their energy independence. They shut down their nuclear plant and immediately began to get it from Putin. And now Putin, because of America and Germany, controls more than 10% of the world's energy source. Putin would not be able to do what he's doing in Ukraine if it wasn't for America and Germany allowing him to control over 10% of the world's energy source. So, again, this is not rocket science for those of us who are paying attention and know how the world works and all of that and how, you know, economics work. So you have to say either these are some of the stupidest people who have been able to wrestle power into their hand, or the other option, which is they know exactly what they're doing and yet they're doing it. And America is feeling the pain. I believe the pain is going to become more intense for a lot of people as we continue moving on this year.
I was very happy to hear that you just got the endorsement of the Gun Owners of America.
Yes, I did.
And very providentially, just yesterday, I had on my program Chris Doerr, who is the president of the American Firearms Association. But obviously, since the Gun Owners of America have endorsed you, it must be a reflection of the fact that the Second Amendment is also something that you hold near and dear. And I have always found it absolutely baffling why so many black folks are voting into office and keeping in office those tyrants, really, who want to make sure that they are not owners of firearms. And many, as you know, of the black community are living in some of the most dangerous areas in the United States. This is the government really taking the ability away from people to defend themselves in their own homes in some of the most dangerous areas. And it's mind-boggling why your average black citizen and voter would be okay with that. In fact, could it be a secret to the majority of the black citizens that the reason why we even have gun control laws to begin with was because after the freedom of the slaves, there were white bigots who were fearful of the freed slaves having firearms. That's where the gun control came into the country.
Listen, you are a wise man. You have obviously read your history. The problem with a lot of Americans, black Americans, white Americans, whoever, is that people don't know their history. And then we find ourselves where we are today. That's one. Two, you know, I have to put some blame on the Republican Party. I believe the Republican Party has the better values. I believe we have the better story. However, we keep picking people who suck at telling our story.
That's right.
And they don't make a compelling case. They don't weave together a compelling narrative. You know, you have a lot of people in my race who are saying, I can't be bought. Well, that's because they're busy spending all their money trying to buy up other people. They can't be bought because they don't need any of us, right? Because they're so rich. And because they're so rich, they don't know what it feels like when gas prices get to $5. They don't feel it the way the rest of us feel it, right? So they can't relate to people. And as a result, they don't go into these, you know, black and brown communities and make a compelling case because they haven't lived. Well, I'm not saying all of them haven't lived through things because I know I've met a number of very wealthy people who started off the lower down the bottom rung than I did. But you have some, specifically those who are running in my race right now, you know, have lived a quite charmed life. And now you're going to send them into Philadelphia or into some of these areas that are 35% below the poverty level trying to make a compelling case. No, they're going to just skip right over that. And that's the reason why the Republican Party primarily do just that. They just skip right over certain communities for good reasons or bad reasons. The fact is the Republican Party has left the predominantly black community up for grabs just to the Democrat Party. And so the Democrat Party walked in selling victimhood and continued to get the vote. This thing's going on for over 50 years that the Democrat Party has, you know, primarily received a black vote. And when I go into the black community, I ask what I believe is a very legitimate question. What exactly have we gotten for all of that loyalty? No one is more loyal to the Democrat Party than black people. And then you see what they get, the Democrat Party. They can't get the White House unless they secure 90 to 95% of the black vote. But what exactly has the black community gotten for all of that loyalty? Because our neighborhoods are some of the worst neighborhoods. Our schools are some of the worst schools. Home ownership is some of the lowest. And so I think that's a very legitimate question to ask, but how many on the Republican Party are willing to go into these particular communities in an authentic way? You can't go in there high and mighty. You can't go in there because you memorize the talking points. You have to be authentic because you're dealing with people. as people before they're willing to listen to you. They want to know to care. Do you really care? Or are you just coming in here trying to do what Democrats have always done, sell a pipe dream, or do you really care? And so I think that's one of the reasons why my campaign has done so well, is because people know that I love people. I want to see people do well. I don't care who you are. I don't care the color of your skin or your background or your orientation. If you are an American, I want to see you doing well. And they see that, they can relate to me, and they find me to be authentic.
Amen. And is Mehmet Oz still leading in this race? I'm very disturbed about that. I was very disheartened by President Trump's endorsement of him. One of the things that baffles me is I think that he would win over the hearts of more truly conservative Republicans if he admitted that he used to be extremely liberal. But I have never heard with my own ears him admit that at least once he was very liberal. And he just acts as if he has always been a quote-unquote conservative.
Exactly. That's the astounding thing, right? And that's the reason why he gets the endorsement and I got all the benefits. Because I am now in a statistical tie with Mehmet Oz and Dave McCormick. How did that happen? They have spent over $60 million on this race, and I've spent less than $2 million over the course of 12 months. So how does that happen, that he gets the endorsement of President Trump, which should have shut the door on all of us? And yet, because of that, as a direct result of that endorsement, I've shot up. I've been surging in all the numbers. Why is that? Because high name ID works both ways. Oz's name ID is so high that we all know he's not a conservative. We know that. And the fact that he's arrogant and thinking that we're so stupid that we don't know any of this and we're like in some kind of cult, that just because President Trump has endorsed him, we're all going to just lay down and do as told. No, we can walk into God. We can appreciate what President Trump did in the way of policy when he was in office, and how he stood between us and the left, who wanted to just pounce on us as they did these past 2 years when they were able to get President Trump out of the way. So we can acknowledge that, respect that, and greatly appreciate it. But Donald Trump is not Jesus, and so he gets to be wrong, and he's wrong on this endorsement. And the people have shown that with their movement to me, and supporting me and what it is that I am offering them.
I mean, he even endorsed transgenderism amongst children. I mean, Christians and conservatives typically love a conversion story, some kind of a radical turnaround for the better. And he should have, if he has indeed truly changed, he should be reveling in that and making that a big part or a significant part of his whole story. But he is acting as if he has never believed in those things and has always been a so-called conservative. Truly.
Well, he's acting like we're stupid.
Yeah.
And that he thinks, and granted, the left believes we're stupid. They believe they're more superior. So he's not coming out with a confession, a conversion story, because he hasn't had one. And certainly, you know, you conversion within the span of, you know, it's kind of like this can happen, you know, but it's like somebody getting saved today and tomorrow going out into the mission field. And, you know, like most of us would say, well, slow down a little bit, right? Go read your Bible. Go learn some things, right? You know, be tested a little bit before you jump all the way up to leading, you know, something so significant. So he is, so that's what he's doing. And the reason why he's not confessing or converting is because he's a liberal and he believes we're stupid, like most liberals. We saw that constantly telling us that we don't know science, follow science, while at the same time we're not following science themselves.
Yeah, and McCormick, some of his ads have been absolutely ridiculous and juvenile. There was even an ad. I couldn't believe my eyes and ears. In this day and age of date rape, the man in an ad is bragging about his sexual conquests in high school by calling them touchdowns, quote, quote. I was sitting there with my jaw hanging open, thinking, how on earth could this man be so moronic as to use that in a campaign ad?
I have not seen that ad, so I can't comment on that. However, what I can say, and what I have said on debate stages, that these people are not conservative, but they are playing a role. They think this is what it means to be conservative. Look at what the left believe. They believe that we are a bunch of racists.
Are you still there, Kathy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, can you hear me?
Now I can, yeah.
Yeah, so sorry. They believe we're racist. Not me, you guys, you know.
Right.
I'm black. But I'm not far from that, right? They will soon be calling me the black face of white supremacy. But let's just remember who these people are and what they think about us. They think we're all a bunch of racists. They think we are, you know, misogynist. So hence the reason I haven't seen that particular ad, but that you're referencing. However, if that is what was in it and that's what he said, it wouldn't surprise me. I've always said very openly, these people are not conservative. They are liberals. And so they're playing a role. And the role they're playing is what they believe it means to be a conservative, that we're a bunch of racists, that we are misogynist, and so, you know, someone who's a misogynist, he would think it's comical to reference conquest as touchdown.
Yeah, he was, the ad featured a couple of his friends from high school, and they were laughing about how he was making touchdowns basically off the field, if you know what I mean, kind of a thing. And he you see him glancing up into the sky with a smile as if he's reminiscing. Oh, yeah, scored a lot of touchdowns. I was amazed by it. But anyway, how can our listeners of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio pray for you? Obviously, I want them to pray for your victory in the Senate race, but how else can we pray for you?
You know, I mean, just pray that eyes will be open and that Pennsylvanians will recognize that they do not have to hold their nose to and vote for the lesser of two evils. Just pray for our country. I believe our country is in trouble. I love America. I'm so grateful to God that this country has allowed me to be able to claw my way from underneath a rock and to create a different narrative for my family along with my husband. But our country is in trouble. So pray for her. Pray for, you know, for our voters' eyes to be open. And of course, you know, we still have 11 days. So I'm going to need people to pray and donate. I'm going to need people to pray and go knock on doors for me. Pray and volunteer to man some of these polls out there. We still have a lot of work to do. And so, you know, I'm thinking about the book of James, where he talks about, you know, you can see my faith by what I do. Believing is not enough. So I would strongly encourage people who are listening to this program to pray and do. Pray and go walk to your neighbor's house and make sure they know who their options are, that you vigorously defend, you know, me as their choice, especially if they are Republican, and get them there to the voting booth.
Amen. And I hope when you become our next Pennsylvania senator, I hope that you will return to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for the full 2 hours of the program. I know that you could only be on with us for 30 minutes today, and we've actually gone a little over that. I thank you for your patience with me on that. I would love to have you and your mom back on the program. Is your mom still with us?
Oh, yes, and I now have the wonderful privilege of taking care of my mom. If you can imagine when something so horrible is, you know, inflicted upon someone, it changes who you are. And so my mother has had, you know, a difficult time in life. But what I will say is that, you know, that harm was inflicted upon my mother, whether they decided to murder me in her room or not. And so I'm so grateful because now I get to be a net for my mother. I get to catch her. And so now I get the wonderful privilege of taking care of my mom, and she would love to come on your show.
Oh, great. Well, I would love that. One of the things that was so precious to me is hearing your mom say when she discovered she was pregnant, even as a very young girl, 11 years old, that she didn't even have a second thought about ending the life that was in her. It was a no-brainer to her that she was to keep you and deliver you.
Yeah. My mother is very special, very strong woman. I am who I am in large part because of my mom and because of my grandparents. I grew up with, you know, I didn't have a lot materially, financially, but I grew up very rich with love and wonderful examples of how to be a woman and how to take care of my family and my community.
Amen. Well, I want to let our listeners know about your website. It's BarnettForSenate.com, BARNETTE ForSenate.com. And you can find out how you can help Kathy in her campaign. With only 11 days to go, please visit that site today. Thank you so much, Kathy, for being such an excellent guest today. And as I said, I look forward to your return to the program as senator and also to have your mom with us.
Blessings. Take care.
God bless you. Don't go away, folks, because we've got a lot more in store on the program. We are going to be joined momentarily by my second guest, who I am sure will edify you. He is the president of Georgia Right to Life. His name is Ricardo Davis, and he comes to us today by the strong, enthusiastic recommendation of one of my favorite guests, Dr. Joe Moorcraft of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia. So I hope that you all will remain with us, and don't go away because we will be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundson, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundson, Edward Jones Financial Advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our second guest today, joining us for the very first time ever on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is Ricardo Davis, the president of Georgia Right to Life. And as you heard me say before the station break, he comes with the highest of recommendations from my dear friend and my favorite guest on this program, or one of my very favorite guests, Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Ricardo Davis.
Why, thank you, Chris, very much for the opportunity, and I'll have to tell Joe thank you next time I see him.
Great. Well, I hope you see him soon. He is such a precious brother. Well,
yes, indeed.
Tell us about Georgia Right to Life.
Well, Georgia Right to Life is the preeminent pro-life organization in the state of Georgia. We just celebrated our 50th anniversary last year.
Praise God.
Yes, indeed. And quite frankly, our vision is that we will be here as long as there is a threat to the legal protection of every human being made in the image of God, from the fertilization to natural death.
Hallelujah. According to Dr. Moorcraft, one of the reasons that he so enthusiastically supports Georgia Right to Life is that I'm not saying that you're the only organization that has this view, but you're not surrounded by many who are of like mind, unfortunately. But you at Georgia Right to Life take a very strong stand that there are no exceptions to the right to life of an unborn child. Am I right?
That is correct. And what, in terms of our advancing our public policy, we call it principled incrementalism. And I can break that down.
Oh, yeah,
for
definitely.
Your audience, right?
Sure, you can break that down.
Okay, then. So essentially, as we pursue legal protection for those persons here in the state of Georgia who are, because of unrighteous laws, of just from just bad actors generally, in order to protect them, we will not violate the law of God in advancing our public policy.
Amen.
So for example, let's say I wanted to, since especially nowadays, the hot topic is the upcoming Supreme Court of the United States decision on the Dobbs case. For example, let's say Ricardo, if you wanted to craft a piece of legislation to protect preborn children from the point we can detect their heartbeat, then my response is going to be, well, first of all, let's just see if we can protect them all the way up to the point of conception first. If I cannot attain that, then I will say, okay, I will say children at the point where we can detect their heartbeat, but I will not legislate the lives of the other children that don't meet that threshold.
And one of the things, we'll get back to Georgia Right to Life, but one of the things that we do here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when we have a first-time guest is we have that guest give a summary of their salvation story, including what kind of religious atmosphere, if any, you were raised in, and what kind of providential circumstances our Sovereign Lord raised up in their lives that drew them to himself and saved them. And I'd like to hear a summary of your story.
All right. Well, I was born and raised in Little Rock, Arkansas. Not too far, if people were familiar with some of the events that happened during the Civil Rights Movement of the middle of the last century, I could ride my bike to Central High School. It wasn't that far away from where we live. I grew up in a nominally Christian home. Grew up as a member of, it would be the National Baptist Convention. It's the largest African-American denomination of Baptists in the country. And made a profession of faith at age 12. However, by the time I entered into my late high school years, I was seriously drifting from that profession. Now, of course, you know, the Baptist, you know, covenantal thinking was far from my thinking, or quite frankly, far from what was really being preached on a regular Sunday. However, I do believe that our gracious God, in light of my profession and my sorry state, wondrously ordered events such that I came to a transformative faith at age 19 while I was at the University of Arkansas. Part of what he did to used to bring me to that place of faith was there were a number of young families who had joined the church And I noticed there was something different in particular about these husbands. I look back and I say, well, you know what? These guys were actually serious about their faith, and living it out and raising their family, you know, their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. But again, it was in June of 1982 at a revival meeting that, quite frankly, the Lord saved me. And quite frankly, at that point, I could say that spiritually, there was that darkness to light change, whereas before, I knew, for example, that certain sins were indeed sins and would receive the just response and recompense from a thrice holy God. But there was nothing within my heart to resist those sins. After that point where the Spirit of God regenerated me, brother, it has been a struggle, yes, but I am a pilgrim.
Praise God.
By the grace of God, I am what I am. By His grace alone.
Amen. Well, we have to go to our midway break right now. If you have a question for Ricardo Davis, you can submit it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question for Ricardo Davis is of a personal and private matter. Let's say you are pregnant and people are counseling you to murder that unborn child, or perhaps you have a child of your own who is pregnant, or there could be a whole host of issues that you want to ask about that would compel you to remain anonymous, and we will obviously respect and grant your wishes to remain anonymous. But if it's a broad question, a general question on these issues, please at least give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence. And keep in mind, folks, this is the longer break in the middle of the show that we have to have because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because the FCC requires of them to localize geographically Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida. So therefore, they air their own public service announcements and other things while we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. So use this time wisely. Not only send in questions to Ricardo Davis at chrisarnzen@gmail.com, but also write down the contact information for as many of our advertisers as you can so that you can more frequently and successfully contact them. And when you cannot purchase their products, use their services, support their parachurch organizations, or visit their churches, we hope that you do all of those things as frequently as possible. But when you cannot do that, please, at the very least, contact our sponsors and thank them for making this show available.
Amen.
Through their finances. So once again, if you have a question to Ricardo Davis, send it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We will be right back right after these messages from our sponsors.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Why can't we see God?
How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And always remember, folks, make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs, whether it is for wedding anniversaries, whether it is for birthdays, retirement celebrations, baptism celebrations, any kind of an event that would compel you to purchase a gift for someone that you care about, please first go to solid-ground-books.com and purchase gifts that truly have eternal significance. And remember to not only purchase gifts for your brothers and sisters in Christ, purchase gifts for the lost people that you know, and pray that a book that is replete with the gospel may be used of God to draw those individuals into the saving arms of Christ by his grace and mercy. That's solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Aronson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my interview with Ricardo Davis, who is the president of Georgia Right to Life, I just have a couple of very important announcements to make. First of all, if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, I'm urging you please to go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer snail mail, sending in a physical check made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio the old-fashioned way at your local post office, well, there will also be a physical address that appears on the screen where you can mail your checks when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. As I try to remember to remind you every day, please don't ever cut into the giving that you're accustomed to your own local biblically faithful church in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Don't give your own church less money than you usually do in order to give us some money. Please don't do that. Also, if you are really struggling to survive, please don't plunge your family into more serious financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio just yet. Wait until you are more financially stable to provide us with a gift, which we would look forward eagerly to receiving. But if you do love this show, and you don't want it to disappear, and you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for your church and your family, you have extra money collecting interest in the bank, you have extra money that you use for recreational and trivial purposes, well, please share some of that money with us if indeed you love the show and don't want it to disappear. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, theologically sound, doctrinally solid, biblically faithful church, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I have extensive lists of biblically faithful churches spanning the globe, and I may be able to help you find a church no matter where on the planet Earth you live. I've helped people all over the world find churches, sometimes within minutes from where they live. And I may be able to help you too, and those that you know and love who are in that predicament as well, who are homeless when it comes to a sound church. Just send me an email to chrisaronson@gmail.com, chrisaronson@gmail.com, and put, "I need a church" in the subject line. And we have with us Ricardo Davis, president of Georgia Right to Life. And if you have any questions for Ricardo, please submit them to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least your city and state and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Ricardo, as I was asking my first guest today, Kathy Barnett, also very, a very conservative black sister in Christ, who is very passionate not only about her faith and her Lord Jesus, but about the defense of the unborn, with no exceptions. I asked her, and I'd like to ask you, when in your own life did this passion for the unborn begin and a biblical worldview develop in your own consciousness? Because you, as you were saying about your own testimony, you began in the National Baptist Convention, which is unfortunately a denomination that has many representatives that deny the pillars of the faith, sometimes even denying the Trinity, the deity of Christ, the bodily resurrection, the substitutionary death of Christ, and so on. And you were speaking about a nominal religious life at one point, but then you truly got born again. So when did this passion begin in your life and a biblical worldview develop?
Well, in the kind providence of God, shortly after I was converted, I got connected with Keith Green's Last Days Ministry.
Wow.
And it was in particular the insightful and passionate exposition of the personhood of every person, every man, woman, boy, and girl, and in particular, their highlighting of how abortion is a great sin, going into the history of it, and then essentially not just dealing with the question of abortion from an academic level, or this is somebody else's problem, but if anyone's familiar with Keith Green's ministry and just what I call the amount of care in pursuing the lost, that really evangelistic spirit kind of carried over into that area. So as I saw what it is, then I got involved. And that was in 1984. And quite frankly, God has continued to open doors from those early days of me standing in front of the student union at the University of Arkansas at Little Rock, getting petitions to get an amendment on the state constitution to prohibit the funding, the public funding of abortions in the state of Arkansas. From that to doing sidewalk ministry in front of abortuaries, to serving in pregnancy resource centers. I guess by that time I had moved to Texas while I was in graduate school pursuing my PhD in chemistry, to eventually ending up participating in the rescue movement there in the late 80s. That passion of doing everything to prevent the slaughter.
And we've lost our guest again. Hopefully he will call back, and I will... We are getting a call back again. Here we go. Hello, Ricardo.
Yes, I am back, and my apologies. We are just having some technical issues today, but praise God, we have multiple technologies to get to you.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Okay, so as I was saying, you know, once the door opened for me to obey what God was putting on my heart, God has continued to open doors. And I pretty much, I guess the only area in terms of the beginning of life type of pro-life ministry I haven't really been intimately involved in is adoption. But just about everything else I have.
Well, actually, you know, that reminds me of accusations that leftists and pro-infanticide individuals hurl at individuals such as you and I and everybody else who is an advocate for the life of the unborn and very openly and vociferously opposed to the murder of the unborn. They hurl at us the accusation that basically we've made idols of fetuses and we do not care about the lives and health and well-being of children after they're born, obviously alluding to a conservative's view on fiscal issues that would involve typically an opposition to leftist welfare programs and all kinds of things. How do you respond to that accusation? I'm sure you must have heard it. It's a very common accusation because you will have a pro-infanticide person in a corner looking evil, perhaps, during a debate or a conversation, and they have to turn the spotlight on you and try to insinuate that you and I and all of us who are opposed to abortion, that we are the ones that are uncaring and so on. So how do you respond to that?
Well, I would say somebody came up to me with that allegation that you don't care about the children after they're born. You don't care about helping the mother. Well, I very much care about that. I mean, that's really what in a church, a faithful church framework, from the moment that child comes into the world until that child becomes an adult and is ready to start their family, we are about caring for children. Matter of fact, Bible says that if I don't take care of the members of my household, I'm worse than an unbeliever. So first of all, we have to say, okay, well, you know, God has blessed me with three children, and every one of them, I have, by the grace of God, been able to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And they are all following the Lord. So that's number one. So I would ask, so if the question you're asking, who's responsible to take care of those children? Because usually the leftists are saying, well, we need more government program. To which I would respond, well, the government programs that were in place when I was a child in the 60s decimated the black family, especially in the city. So explain to me how being more caring by essentially doing the same thing and expecting different results is somehow caring for the mother or the child.
Now, obviously, there are Christians, not only across this nation, but even worldwide, but there are Christians who are hungry and very much, sometimes even desperate to adopt children, and they even go overseas to do that. They even, you know, I know people personally that flew to Ukraine to adopt children. I know people that flew to China and Korea to adopt children. Obviously, there are people out there who want to adopt and are being held up in that area isn't one of the answers to that issue and one of the solutions to make it easier to adopt?
Well, yes, that is one solution. And since you mentioned that, one of the elders at my church has one adopted son. They attempted to adopt another child, a daughter, but the adoption fell through when the mother changed her mind shortly after the child was born. She did not want to put the child up for adoption. And this in particular, now I may not have had any hands-on experience working in the area of adoption, but I'm somewhat familiar with the issue and what I call the challenges to adoption. Whether we're talking about the costly legal hurdles to adopt, especially domestically. Again, the one elder I was speaking of, I mean, you know, when you spend $30,000-$40,000 for an adoption, that's serious money right there. And for the average person, you know, they don't have that kind of spare change in their pocket. So you got, that's one thing. The other thing is essentially the paternalistic state, places all manner of barriers to good homes, good Christian homes, to adopting a child. Now, I know some of this is due to essentially the general culture where the state is trying to do what's necessary to keep from placing children into the hands of guardians that will essentially collect money from the state to take care of the child and do nothing for the child. I understand that. But again, someone making the accusation just flatly that, oh, well, you don't care anything about the children. I'm like, well, we can talk all day about what the Church of Jesus Christ is doing in its community. And as my favorite author, George Grant, would say, you know, Christianity and the people of God have been saving and bringing children in their homes and raising them up ever since the days of the Roman Empire. Show me what your paganism or show me what your humanism has done.
Amen.
That is.
I mean, even hospitals and psychiatric hospitals and all kinds of things came into existence through compassionate Christians.
Mm-hmm. That is correct. So to that end, I basically just ask people to, you know, show me.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with Madeline Murray O'Hare Hospital or, you know, any.
Oh, wait a minute. So we have the Margaret Sanger Birthing Center.
Well, you brought up
we have an organization called Planned Parenthood. So where do we see the care for the children?
Yes. Though I can't even think of any other way they must be looking at it other than they think they're involved in mercy killing. But they're really involved in alleviating any discomfort that a pregnant woman believes she will have by carrying a baby to full term, whether it be financially, mentally, emotionally, or physically. They really are putting the happiness of a woman far above the most fragile and helpless humans in existence, the unborn. And
well, Chris, that point right there just shows how far America has fallen from its Christian roots.
Yes.
You know, we know the Bible says that children are a blessing from the Lord. And yet, and still today, they are seen as a curse because they are the, let's just say, the unexpected consequences of pursuing our depraved sexual lust. If I could just be so blunt about it. So when we as a nation have apostatized, and we as a nation have essentially hated God and now love death, then elective abortion is seen as a positive societal good.
Now,
all this stuff about caring, you know, Christians not caring for children. Of course, now here, and I hate to say it, but you know, I live here in the Atlanta area, and quite frankly, the start of the so-called reproductive justice movement started here in the Atlanta area. Well, and essentially, they're basically saying that women, minority women, need justice, i.e. they need parity with their Caucasian fellow citizens in being able to kill their child. And that's what they call reproductive justice. And this is just all wickedness.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Well, what's most infuriating is when they have the audacity and the vile, satanic indifference to the life of the unborn as to refer to the murder of the unborn as women's health care. Oh, that just drives me up a tree, to use an old-fashioned phrase.
Well, but Chris, let's do this, because, you know, as we pursue, especially for folks that are, you know, on what I call the advancing the justice of King Jesus, let us redouble our effort to making sure that we are essentially meeting a broken world where they are. Now, first and foremost, that means in our churches, in our ministry, in our evangelism and discipleship, are we taking seriously the fact that some surveys say 1 in 4, some say 1 in 5 women of childbearing age is basically 1 degree from either knowing someone who's been impacted by elective abortion, or they themselves have had an elective abortion. And if you think about that, because just because the fact that that child in the womb is a human being with a soul, you know, that's inescapable. Likewise, the guilt of killing that innocent child is something that weighs heavy on the conscience of the land. And on the one hand, I see it as the reason why we have to, essentially those that oppose the gospel, those that oppose King Jesus, have to, as it were, turn the volume up to 10 with their crying and their excuses and their, you know, their ranting. It is because when you just sit down and you talk to a man or a woman who's been impacted by this, many times there's great guilt there. There's great shame there. And we have the message, brother, that is the only thing that will effectively deal with the guilt and condemnation that the shedding of innocent blood brings on a person. And that is the gospel.
Hallelujah.
The gospel of the kingdom. That is the only thing that'll do it. And in advancing that gospel, that gospel needs to have, as we say, shoes on. You know, so it has been a blessing to me that the congregation I'm a part of, Sovereign Grace Church here in Woodstock, Georgia, we basically welcome and we actually take serious Galatians 6, where it talks about, hey, if there's a need, how are you taking care of the needs of your fellow brothers and sisters, even the ones that, years before they became a believer, you know, they got an abortion. Or, even more so, they decided to keep their child, and now they're struggling because they don't want to put their child in the government school. They want to make sure that that child gets a Christian education. And it has been a blessing to me to see that basically the preaching has led to gospel action in all these different realms, whether we're talking about, you know, ministering to the brokenhearted, whether it's being bringing practical help to those in the situation, whether it's talking about helping couples adopt. You know, we really have embraced a fully orbed gospel of life at Sovereign Grace Church. And my prayer is that would, as again, the reviving of the true gospel happens in America, which we are all praying for, that God would be merciful in light of all that we've done. That we would be his hands and feet, as well as the mouth, the trumpet, right?
Amen.
That we would be his hands and feet, and that we would see, because of that, that we would see the grace of God in action, that we would see the Spirit of God change lives. And, you know, I'm thinking of one young lady who came to us, I want to say 7 years ago, that she plugged in. She was serious about the Lord, and she was doing everything she could to bring up her daughter in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Through what I would call the diaconate ministry, there was care extended to this young lady. And in God's good timing, God brought along a Boaz. and they are happily married, and they had their first child together last year. So it has been, again, if somebody says we don't care about the children, we care so much about the children that we are working to bring them into the family, and in the kindness of God, those children, they actually have fathers.
Amen.
So, again, all this really is a part of Georgia Right to Life's vision, because we are an explicitly Christian ministry. We want to see, we're not just there to protect the child. We're there to restore the family.
Amen. Well, that's so good to hear. And another reason why you have become near and dear to my heart during this conversation knowing that you have no exceptions to the protection of the life of the unborn, the thing that those who perhaps are just trying to win votes from conservative individuals who are quote pro-life, they will tip their hats to that, but always leave the clause for the health life of the mother, and the if the mother is the victim of rape or incest, they fail to realize, or at least they may realize it but don't care. But once you have given those exceptions, you are no longer calling it murder. And the only reason, the one and only reason that abortion should be outlawed is because it's murder. That's the only reason it should be outlawed. So when you give those exceptions, you're really making it a matter of personal opinion on things. And you remove the whole sting, you remove the vile and satanic nature of what is occurring. Do you agree?
I agree. Now, if we can shift to what I call the realm of legislating, actually, the realm of the civil magistrate, okay? Here's the grievous thing to me in this discussion. We have, I would say, most of the men and women who serve in the Georgia General Assembly, most of them would claim that they are Christian believers. But very few of them would hold the position that you articulate. And when people ask me, well, why is that? Well, you have to start asking questions regarding what are the shepherds of these men and women saying? In the churches that they attend, what do they open up God's word and explain to the congregation? And I would say, especially if I had someone, if I was an elder or pastor in a church, and I had somebody who was elected to office, I would pay particular care to exhort that man or woman to honor God in their official capacity.
Amen.
There is a paucity of expounding the word of God with regard to morals and ethics on the question of elective abortion. Now, you'll see a lot of people, you hear a lot of preaching on what I would consider the moral aspect. But see, when you're talking about exceptions, now we're talking about the application of biblical ethics. And there's very little of that happening. And sad to say, many of the ostensibly Christian organizations that are involved in the administration, or should I say not an administration of, but encouraging, helping elect these men and women, etc., they aren't getting it either. So they're supporting these men and women who are in a position of authority as the civil magistrate, and they are counseling them that it's okay. For example, to get that vote that you were talking about. Well, yes, I'm pro-life. Yes, I believe that abortion's murder, except for rape or incest. Or, well, except for if the baby has some kind of genetic defect. Or, you know, insert whatever excuse there. The fact that there is a void of the application of the Word of God with regard to the ethics of the administration of government that has gotten us in this place, Chris.
Amen. And let's pick up where we left off after our final break, which is going to be a lot more brief than the other breaks. If anybody has a question for Ricardo Davis, send it immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. And we will get to as many of you that are already waiting to have your questions asked as soon as possible. And don't go away. We'll be right back.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundson, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundson, Edward Jones financial advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order. As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and we have our final segment today. And we've been having technical difficulties with my guest, but thank God he's always able to reconnect. Before we return to your last comment, and if I'm not mistaken, if I were to summarize the sentiment that you had, it would be that Christians, as well as others, have long misunderstood the whole concept of the separation of church and state, which is not in the Constitution, but was a promise by Thomas Jefferson to Baptists that the new nation that was being formed would not establish a religion that would persecute them or impose its beliefs upon them in any way or enforce their beliefs upon the Baptists. But we could return to that. I just want to make sure we got to at least a couple of our listener questions.
Go right ahead.
We have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who's asks, Chris asked his first guest today, Kathy Barnett, how much opposition she had received from the black community for her strong stances on conservative issues. Have you also received that kind of opposition?
Well, the short answer is yes. And on this issue, I just have to be like the Apostle Paul. Like, you know, my heart is that my fellow tribesmen, as it were, come to see things as the Lord has shown me. Because if it wasn't for the grace of God, quite frankly, I wouldn't care.
Now, how much is it common knowledge that the whole abortion industry began as an effort to eradicate the United States from the black population? First, by the vision to enforce sterilization, and then later to actually murder the unborn. How common is that awareness that that is where Planned Parenthood came from? That's the evil passion of Margaret Sanger, its founder. Is this like a thing that is a big secret amongst many in the black community?
No, it's just a secret. In other words, It is, and we may need another show on this, but it is essentially an environment where we just don't talk about that kind of stuff. And a lot of it has to do, at least this is my observation, I can't say that this is, you know, this generalization can be extended across the entire black community in America. But what we have is a situation where the folks that essentially stepped up to help give, for example, my father's generation, civil rights on par with their fellow white citizens, because of that commitment and loyalty, they are not willing to do anything to divide that loyalty.
Well, I want you, because we're really rapidly running out of time, I want you to summarize uninterrupted in several minutes what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today when it comes to this issue and specifically to Georgia right to life.
Okay. Well, let me start with current events because we're getting people asking questions regarding the Supreme, especially with the leak of the draft opinion from the Supreme Court on the Dobbs versus Jackson case. You know, it is our hope at Georgia Right to Life that the court will strike down this wicked precedent of Roe versus Wade and all its evil progeny that has essentially given sanction to the deaths of over 63 million innocent children in our land. Now, if at the end of the day, Roe is overturned, well, all I gotta say is, well, just like when Dred Scott was overturned, that didn't mean that immediately there was amity between blacks and whites in America. And as far as I'm concerned, if Roe is struck down later this spring, there is still going to be a lot of work to do in our respective states to, again, roll back not just elective abortion, because we can outlaw elective abortion in the state of Georgia, but the lives of these preborn children will still be in danger because the mindset of the people is turned to wickedness. So it is going to take, again, the people of God to be courageous, to be risky, to be willing to put themselves in places where they're not used to being, to truly minister the whole gospel, again, to a nation that's covered in blood guilt.
Well, I want to make sure that our listeners have your website. I know that your website had been hacked into and is being restored, and it may not be working currently. But
yes, I actually checked it before I called in earlier, and it, at that time it still was not up. But I find it very curious that the day after that leak of that draft opinion on Roe versus Wade, that malicious actors took our site down.
Right.
But you know what? That, if they think that is going to shut us up, they got another thing coming.
Amen.
So, but again, the website is grtl.org. You can still find us. They haven't shut us down yet on Facebook or YouTube or Twitter or LinkedIn, so you can connect with us there as well.
And as I always do, or try to remember to do when I discuss abortion on this program, I highly recommend that everyone watch the documentary called Maafa 21. That's that's spelled M as in Michael, A-A, F as in Frank, A. The subtitle of that documentary is Black Genocide in 21st Century America. And you can find out more about that at maafa21.com. That's M as in Michael, A-A, F as in Frank, A21.com. Thank you so much for being such an excellent guest today, brother. I look forward to your return to the program, and I thank my friend Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III for highly recommending you. I want to thank everybody who listened today, especially those who took the time to write in. I'm sorry that we couldn't ask and have all of your questions answered. We ran out of time. I also want to thank Kathy Barnett, a candidate for the United States Senate in Pennsylvania, who was my first guest today. And you can find out more about how to support her candidacy at barnettforsenate.com, B-A-R-N-E-T-T-E for senate.com. I hope you all have a very safe, happy, healthy, blessed, and joyful, and Christ-honoring weekend and Lord's Day. And I hope you all remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Hallelujah.
Amen.